Fifi, Feb, and Nick. Get that fun feeling every morning with Fifi, Feb, and Nick. And get that winning feeling with Ecosa. With a chance to win a queen bedroom makeover worth $4,000. Just head to ecosa.com.au to find out more. 101,
this is the Fox. If you're single, on the dating scene, trying to figure out how to get people interested in you, and, you know, dating apps, it's fine to put up your profile and hope people are going to swipe right, but let's be honest, it can be hard to get them to do that. Well, you don't want to go anywhere because we are about to speak to a Tinder genius, but he is in the top 30 list of the most swiped right people in the UK and Ireland. His name is James Langton, and he actually gives tips for this now. You can subscribe to his YouTube channel, Data Help. He gives you this advice, and he's joining us now from Leicester in the UK. James, welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. It's what time is it there for you?
7:38 in the morning.
Yeah, we're at... Let me check my time. It is 10:38 here in the evening, so we're about 12 hours.
You're about to hit the town, mate. The most swiped guy on Tinder.
About to get some visits.
I'd like that, but at the minute in the UK, things are kind of still crazy here with Corona. So, no, very firmly just staying home watching YouTube videos and such. So.
Now, James, this is a fantastic title to hold, to be one of the most swiped right guys on Tinder. Can you get, like, what would be the top tip for anybody out there who's working on their profile to put on Tinder? How do you get those swipes?
I'd say tip number one for guys is no photos of you holding a fish. That's tip number one. And then the thing is that I'd say as well, these tips for guys or for girls or just for anybody?
Can you give both, actually? Because there'd be some girls listening going, can you help us too?
Oh, it'd be pretty easy to do with girls. It's not hard.
to be honest with you, when it comes to either, you know, profiles for the guys or the girls, I'd say, you know, make sure you have, you know, clear photos of yourself that, you know, show your full body length in them. And that also you're smiling, you know, photos are in focus. And also if you can, try and have it an activity that you really enjoy doing. So, you know, if guys are into mountain biking or, you know, rock climbing, whatever, just having some kind of active photos as well on your profile is good because, let's face it, dating in general is kind of like, you know, trying to hire somebody for a job, but at the same time, you know, trying to see if you can get the job as well. It's like a dual thing. Yeah. So you want to be basic, because when you think about it, most people spend more time, you know, laying in bed asleep than they do doing all these activities. But when it comes to showing yourself off on a dating app, you need to, you know, just find really killer shots of you doing the activities you enjoy mainly.
Now, Jim, that's cute. Now, let's get to the crux of this. Now, your Tinder's a not really a dating app. It's more of a getting together app. How many people have you caught up with?
Well, if you're asking how many dates I've been on...
You can say dates and then you can go to the other half.
I'd say maybe 10 to 12, maybe. I'm not massive.
Is that it?
Actually on you. Yeah, I'm not actually that massive on using the apps myself. Obviously coach a lot of people.
Did the phone cut out? Was there meant to be a million at the end? Or did you say 10 to 12?
Yeah, but the thing is, you've got to remember, I haven't right swiped back to a lot of these people. They're people that right swiped on me.
What's your time?
Yeah. This is going to make me sound like you're such an idiot, but I genuinely don't have a time. You know, if you meet somebody and you find there's a connection between you both, literally, I don't know, I've dated blondes, brunettes, I've dated people taller than me, shorter than me. Like, I'm not bothered. You know, when you just meet somebody and there's that connection there, I just find that more kind of enticing than, you know, have a bullet point list of this is the kind of, you know, person that I'm looking for.
So when you're the most swiped for. So when you're swiping, what do you look for?
Well, I'm not actually on Tinder anymore. I'm only on Hinge and Bumble. But I'd say on those
That's more of that.
Because you clocked it? You clocked Tinder? You got a new game, please.
Yeah, completed it. Completed it.
The boss.
No, I think when I'm kind of swiping, you know, looking for people on dating apps, it's mainly, I guess, somebody who's pretty active. It's got to be somebody who's active.
Do you know what I like James? Sorry, I like what you said because when you said one of the things that either whether you're a female or a male and you're putting a profile up is you should have your full body and who, just a real photo of yourself because I think one of the most disappointing things I hear from people on these apps is when they meet someone and they're not who they thought they were. Because now, James, we're in this world with photoshopping photos. Women are, you know, literally putting up different photos of themselves. And I think guys particularly are getting shocked. And that's, I don't want to be the woman sitting there who can see the shock on a man's face. So I think it's, you're doing yourself a disservice by making yourself look different.
Yeah, I think, well, I actually read something a while ago that the biggest fear that guys have for meeting a girl off a dating app is that she's fat. And the biggest fear that a girl has for a guy on a, you know, meeting on a dating app is that that person could potentially be a serial killer. Mm. So it really gives you a bit of an insight into, you know, what people's thought processes are. But, you know, obviously I do, well, pretty much for a living now, do dating app advice and, you know, help people, you know, write their profiles, select and, you know, retouch their photos. And when I say retouching, usually the way that I go about doing it personally is I'll do things like select, I do a lot of fashion photography. So I'll say to a client, these are the kind of shots that you need of yourself. And then they'll send them to me and I'll choose the best photo of them, you know, because let's face it, if you take a photo of yourself and, you know, a selfie on a front facing camera, you know, and you're looking down and you know, and you accidentally do it.
Oh,
nobody looks
horrifying.
Good doing that. But if a friend takes, you know, 50 photos of you and then you actually think, ah, this is actually quite a good photo, it's still the same person. It's not like you're, you know, you're catfishing anybody. It's literally just a case of you're always going to select, the best photos of yourself. And when I, you know, help a lot of people with their profiles, it's not a case of, you know, I don't do any, you know, facial reconstructions or anything. It's literally just saying, this is the best photo of you. Yeah. Let's crop it, edit the colors slightly, you know, the background colors. And at the end of the day, when you're on a dating app, why would you not want to, you know, put your best photos on there kind of thing? So that's the way I see it.
Well, these are great tips, James. You are the most swiped guy on Tinder. And for people who want to, I mean, hear some of your advice, you're at Data Help. That's where people can find you on social media. And thank you
for
staying
James.
Up over there in Leicester at 10:30 at night for us.
No problem. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great morning.
So far in 2021 at the Fox, we've been guilty of giving away over $200,000 in cash and prizes. Now, Fifi, Feb, and Nick's Guilty Pleasures. What's something you've always wanted but you wouldn't buy for yourself? Register your guilty pleasure online now at fox.com.au. The winning starts Monday on The Fox.
I nearly didn't get here, Nick, because I...
What happened?
Well, I was nearly run off the road. I was nearly scared off the road, I should say.
Oh.
I was at the lights getting off the freeway here in South Melbourne, and I was stopped at the lights, and I was the only car there. And I often, you know, when you drive the early hours and sometimes
weird,
you're in parts of
it's
the city where you're by yourself.
It's dark.
Dark at the intersection. It's dark. I'm sitting there, and the next minute, a car pulls up next to me, and I'm not someone who looks over, and then the guy has wound down the window and thrust almost half his body out the window.
Whoa.
Toothless, like no front tooth.
What?
And just started screaming at my window, scared. I screamed. Leon, I was on the phone to you. How loud did I scream?
Very loud, very loud.
Terrified me.
Obviously, it was me. I was cruising off.
Isn't it sad that the toothless part gave that away?
Yeah, you gave you away.
No front tooth.
Oh, now I
know.
Was just cruising up, and then I see Boxy's car, because we've just come out of the Burnley Tunnel, and I'm with my daughter, Lenny. And I said, Lenny, there's Boxy's car. I'm going to scare the absolute bejesus out of her. And she's like, oh, we're getting excited. We're cruising up. And I got real close. I wanted to, like, open up her door, but I know they're locked, so I can't do that game.
No.
You know that game? I used to play with all the footy boys.
Yeah, carjacking.
You carjack. You can open it up with your mates, and you scare the crap out of them. Great game.
Give me the keys.
I'll get Boxy. So I pulled up that close. And because she's got a little bit of a tint on her window, she didn't look once.
Yeah,
and I knew she'd be on the phone. Yeah, I knew she'd
pretty
be on
gangster.
The phone to Leon. And I went, she nearly jumped out of the roof. And I was like, yeah. And Lenny's laughing. Go, good one, Dad. Yeah, and I was wrapped, absolutely wrapped with myself.
Never do that to me again.
Off. Why?
Because I'm this driving.
Got it's you up and about, woke
I know,
you up.
But I
well,
just...
remember the other, a couple of weeks ago, it was you just dancing on
the... dropping me rubbish in the bins outside.
No shirt.
Yeah, got no...
Dancing on the road, just to scare her.
I'm driving up Clarendon Street here in South Melbourne, and there is a man in the road with no top dancing, and I pulled over on the phone to Leon again. I went, Leon, I can't come in. There's a man outside the front of the radio station just with his top off dancing. You just don't expect it to be your co-host. Like, you don't expect that bizarre behaviour.
Hey, more to come.
You'll probably see me one morning on the bike. It'll make you feel much better. Just wind the window down. Nerd!
1019, The Fox.
You may have seen this on the news. We've certainly just put the video up on our social media, on our Instagram. Yesterday, the Defence Force and government figures, they were gathered in a ceremony for the Royal Australian Navy's new warship, HMAS Supply. So there in the crowd, you had Governor General David Hurley, Defence Force Chief Angus Campbell, and a lot of, when they the video crosses to the crowd, a lot of, I'm going to say, senior men.
Yeah,
like a
elderly.
Lot of,
veterans.
Distinguished guests.
That's it. Very RSL distinguished people. Looking. Anyway, for some reason, as part of the ceremony, they had a group of seven scantily clad dancers twerking, like, to this music. And, you know, when you read the news story, you think to yourself, oh, can't be that bad. But when you watch it, I know there's a cheer is now a credible form of dance that's considered a sport.
In the right places.
But this is really graphic twerking and seemingly so inappropriate. In actual fact, as Leon, our executive producer, said, it felt like it was a stitch-up by Borat. Like, I thought Sacha Baron Cohen was going to come out.
Yeah, it's got more like basketball halftime vibes.
Because I go to the basketball and they go out, they still do this. They go out and dance. And I remember back in the day, Boxy, when I was first year Carlton, 99, 2000, we had the Bluebirds. They were the girls. When we kicked a goal, they'd come out with their streamers and their bikinis and they'd dance in front of the Heatley stand.
Maybe there was just a mix-up at the, like, at the booking place. And there's some poor basketball game with a 21-gun salute at halftime. Oh, no.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Yesterday on the show, we were talking about suburban urban legends. Mm. And that was because Fev had brought up the story that happened at the Noble Park Aquatic Centre back in the 80s, bicentennial year, 88.
The Queen gave me some coins.
He remembered a girl going down the water slide.
Yeah. And got cut by razor blades or glass. Either one of the
and two. Then we were all sort of sitting here going, I reckon we've all heard that story and maybe it's an urban myth. But no, Fev, a number of calls said, yep, that did happen.
They backed it up.
And then we did open the phones and we were taking calls from people who had stories that weren't urban legends or they didn't believe they were. And we got Tegan called us from Mickleham. Hi, Tegan.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Good. Mm. Tegan, now tell us this story. Firstly, is it an urban legend?
Oh, look, apparently, but I guess we'll soon find out.
Yep. What is it?
So basically the story is I was having a chat with my dad and his mother-in-law had told him this story where she'd apparently spoken to this person and they knew of a family that had gone to the Melbourne Aquarium and they had a child with them that had wandered off to the penguin enclosure. And then a little while later, after looking for him, he came back and he was all wet. So the frustrated parents took the child home. In the car ride on the way home, he was like, oh, Mum and Dad, I'm really, really cold. And the parents were like, that's okay. When you get home, like, we'll give you a bath. So when they get home, they're unpacking his backpack that he brought with him to the aquarium, and then out comes a penguin. So the parents were like, what the hell? Where has this penguin came from? And then they've called Zoos Australia, and then the aquarium came to pick this penguin up.
Tegan, it's a great story, and it does ring bells around. There were a few people that went, I reckon that I've heard that one too.
Leon didn't?
Yes.
Didn't he tell a story, something like that? It happened to him? He stole a meerkat or something?
Well, no, I didn't. I heard a grade 5 excursion went to Melbourne Zoo, and I remember everyone saying that Daniel McGurk, full name, sorry, had taken a meerkat from the enclosure and put it in the backpack and then taken it home and then had to take it back a day or two later.
Nah. See, I don't know. 1310 60, does anyone know if this penguin story is
an urban legend? Mate,
no, that's not
the penguins
cool.
are cool, man.
You can't take a penguin.
I know, so I'm saying it'd be pretty cool to have. I'm not going to steal
it
one.
It won't last long.
Well, you can make a.
Well, get some ice from the freezer.
Yeah, well, you can have a sauna that's really hot. You can have a freezer.
I guess so, if you got really creative. I mean, we shouldn't encourage this, but you're right.
Yeah.
13, 10, 60
exhibit at home.
Was this? Did this happen? Does anyone know if this did happen? It's an urban legend that's gotten around Melbourne. Did a penguin get taken from the aquarium into a kid's backpack? Do you know who did it? Have you heard the story? And what about the meerkat one? We'll take calls on that too. Nadia from Caroline Springs. Hi, Nadia.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great, Nadia. Do you know anything about these urban myths, suburban myths?
Now, I work at Melbourne Zoo. I've been there for 13 years
awesome.
Now. Now, the whole meerkat urban it's an urban legend. No way could a kid get in there and take a meerkat.
Cop and that, even if not with that attitude.
Even if... an animal Loaded did go yourself. Missing, it wouldn't be known because all the keepers, keep a tally and, count all the animals before,
you could just
say
a lion ate it or something. You wouldn't know, would you?
I don't think they're hanging out together, Fev.
No, they're not hanging out together.
Meerkats climb, no. don't they?
No, they can't. Right. There's glass panels. They can't climb. The whole penguin theory, though, we did a few years ago have a boy who did jump into our penguin pool and he did not take a penguin home. But with the aquarium, no way could you get anyone into the penguin enclosure. It's all glass and it's
you
all,
can't get
there's
I've
no
been
public
there.
Access.
How cold's the water?
Fev wants
not
to
that
keep one.
It's not... Just it's case. Not...
Now that I think about it, Nadia, that is amazing. We went to the phones. We've all been to the aquarium. You can't get in the penguin enclosure. It's floor-to-ceiling glass.
Like, it?
No, it is.
And like I've been telling my two-year-old son, if you're going to steal a penguin, Phillip Island. They're not counting it. They just come up on the beach and just grab one.
Obviously, we do not condone that.
Okay.
And Nadia, thank you for
clarifying.
You can
take a penguin from there,
you can't take penguins
from the ocean.
From anywhere. Anywhere.
That's not kidnapping or anything.
Please don't go near
it's
the
like
penguins.
It's like taking a fish.
Yeah, it's cute fishing.
No.
You
penguins,
take a fish.
Leave them alone. Lorene in Gisborne. Hi, Lorene.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good. Do you know anything about these suburban urban legends about pets being, or pets, animals being taken from zoos?
I certainly do. So I come from Scotland, and once when I visited Edinburgh Zoo in Scotland, they used to do a penguin parade. So we were there, and there was only a few penguins came out. And we were told that the reason there was such a reduced number of penguins was because someone had stolen one in their backpack and taken it home one time.
There you go. Okay, wow.
So this has travelled the
Ian's
world.
Ian's mum knows what's going on.
That's a reference to Leon's boyfriend, Ian, who is also Scottish. Sorry, Lorene. Now, what's interesting, though, the backpack keeps coming up.
Does,
that's getting
it?
Around the world. In Scotland, they're talking about the penguins in backpacks. Here we're
if only Dora was around, she'd be able to find it.
Oh, wow.
101.9 The Fox.
Fev, and maybe we, but Nick, I don't know if you want me to speak on your behalf, and you may not have been part of this as strongly as I was, but remember a few weeks ago, Fev brought something up, and I feel that I owe you an apology, Fev.
Thank you. I haven't heard it yet, but thank you.
I'm sorry did not believe that Elon Musk was putting stars into space.
Yes.
There we go.
Thank you.
Okay, now, can I...
He took them out of your eyes.
Oh, that's so sweet. Look at that. That's nice.
Good work,
Thank you for forgiving me. Well, people had noticed this peculiar string of lights hovering above eastern Australia in the early hours of the morning, and that photo is incredible. They're not actually stars. They're satellites.
Yeah, they're satellites.
So
but it is a straight line.
It's great.
When they're all up, when they were over in America, and as I said to you guys a couple of weeks ago, that now when you glaze into the sky when you're sitting there with your partner and you're having a nice bottle of Cab Sav and you've got the picnic basket and... You just like when you go for a date with your missus for the first time, and you're looking up at the stars. They're not stars; they're satellites. You don't know what's what.
You don't know what's looking at you and filming you.
Because there's so many of them. You've got to think how many. They reckon there's more stars in the sky than there is sand grains on the beach.
Amazing.
Wow.
Do you believe that though?
Wow.
A lot of sand.
There's a lot of stars, mate.
Think about the sand that's actually under the
Bang.
Ocean.
Got it.
Yeah, but this is just in Earth.
Yeah. In a,
but think about how big the universe is.
We don't know.
That's exactly right. Point. They're all stars out there.
Maybe it's not big, though.
Well, you'd never know.
Burden of proof is on those people, the astronomers.
Well, astrology, finally, there's a sign I can get behind. This one. I'm actually a strong Wi-Fi, guys, and I can really feel it. I don't want to be Taurus anymore. But I want to be internet.
Do you know what they're for? It's for the internet.
Starlink, yeah. It's Starlink, which is it's one of Musk's. Geez, he's rich, isn't he?
He's
got a space company called SpaceX, and it's advertising for his internet company. So yeah. Internet speeds into he's putting internet speeds into remote regions.
50G.
Well, these are pretty remote.
Yeah,
in outer space. Mm. I mean,
you can't get worse than some of the internet here. You know what I mean? He's got Starlink and he's going to be up against Dodo. I reckon Elon has got the win here.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Hey, remember back at school, one of the great periods to have was music, art, music and sport. Let's be honest. If it wasn't got you out of maths and English and those ones, they were sort of, they're the fun ones from memory.
Yeah, and you could pick some. Yeah.
No, God, like, we are so different in so many ways.
Terrible at art. Fev, you would have loved PE. Love PE.
PE, outdoor ed, bang.
Music, I just picked
music
silly things. I did bagpipes.
What did you say? Drama.
Music, you'd get... No, I said art. Art was great. You'd make clay and pot, you know, like paint and stuff, finger painting.
My mum kept one of my clay designs.
Yeah.
When I was in grade prep, I came home so excited. Thought I'd made... I said, here's what I made with clay. Mm. Mr. Nosy. But... didn't look like that. Just looked like an appendage. It's the only bit of art I've ever kept.
My favourite classes were outdoor ed, PE, math and a biology.
And biology?
Favorite, yes.
Wow. Okay. Did not expect that.
They were my favourite.
But we were talking about this and Leon, your boyfriend Ian.
Yeah. He's from Scotland and something he told me shocked me. In grade 4 or 5, his school choir back in Scotland had to sing... 1 week by the Bare Naked Ladies. China, the Chinese chicken. You have a drumstick and your brain stops sticking. Watching X-Files with no lights on. Not only is it really difficult, just I felt it was slightly inappropriate, the song as well.
Do you know what I love about this, though? Because that reminds me of times when I've been in, like, school choirs or whatever. And think about this. Music teachers are often frustrated musicians who actually want to be out playing a gig at a pub.
Yeah.
So then they've got the kids doing songs they'd want to perform.
Well, I had a very weird one at the end of grade 6, Glendevin Primary School, no longer there in Werribee, but we had to do a graduation, grade 6 graduation. And this is the song they made the grade 6s sing. Bit of Backstreet's Back.
Yeah.
That was our graduation song, and I had to write the lyrics out on a bit of paper. Now, you've got to remember, grade 6, maybe 11 or 12-year-old kids singing this in front of everyone with these very appropriate lyrics. Why is that a graduation song?
I know my kids have, they sing a song at their school. They sing a graduation song. They all sing, it's the same song every year. I can't remember what it was, but Lenny and Lulu would know. But we had a school song. Every Thursday night at Hallam Pub, about 4 or 5 pints in, we just sing to the music. That was whatever, Matchbox 20. Because we used to always go to the pub. We had the first two periods off on a Friday. Seriously. Hallam
that
Pub was sick.
That didn't happen.
What do you mean?
You were going to the pub from school?
I was 18 in year 12.
Oh, we're primary school.
Oh, mate, okay, I got kicked out of primary school.
101.9, The Fox.
Now, Boxy, we've got a little surprise, Nick and I, for you.
Yes.
You came to us the other day and I was staggered with your new hobby. You got a new hobby at home.
Oh, gardening. I'm a gardener.
This is what you said on the show the other day. Oh.
Oh, here we go. Sorry, we're just having technical issues.
Just went
come
black.
Up now.
There we go. We're back.
I have a new hobby and it's taking over. Guys, I am a gardener. Gardening. Gardening is my new thing.
Really?
No, Feb, and to the point where yesterday, because it's school holidays, the girls were, Trixie was watching Raya, the Last Dragon, and I said, sweetheart, guess where we're going? And she screamed, not Bunnings!
Oh, no.
I've been to Bunnings 5 days straight.
Which is amazing. So we thought, when you think of gardening, there's only one person in Australia. He's on Gardening Australia. It's Costa!
Hey. Costa!
Fifi.
Oh, Costa. This is brilliant. I'm honestly, I've been Googling that many questions about gardening over the last few weeks. Imagine if I could get Costa on speed dial and now you're sitting here and I can ask you anything.
Well, where did this begin? What was this, the impetus? How did it get over the line? So
you haven't got much on.
No, do you know what? I'm raising a couple of kids, and we did go through the lockdown last year, but I just realised how much I love gardens and flowers, and I've never been very good at maintaining them, Costa. And I did go to Sydney for a couple of weeks ago, and when I came home, a lot of my plants had died, and I felt guilty, and I went, no, you're better than this. You can, if you can keep your kids alive, you should be able to keep these plants alive.
Good, good connection. Yeah.
And then I started going to nurseries, and particularly the Bunnings nursery, because that's near me. And I just get in there and I can't stop buying plants, Costa. I just love them all.
This is positive, because you'll find, Fifi, that this addiction is incurable.
Yeah.
And for Nick and Fev, this is going to be...
I've got one. It's punting. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
too much. I plant the money down. It doesn't grow. Sweet.
The money tree. You've got to get a jade.
Got to get a money
tree.
You get
a jade plant. You've got the feng shui happening, and you know,
pineapples
put
grow
it in the studio. It, yeah, I want to see the studio dressed out with indoor plants. Are you gardening indoors too, Fee? Or
yes, I've got some indoor plants, but I'm really working on my veranda, Costa. Can I run through what I'm doing in one of my pots at the moment? And because I was googling this last night, and nobody could give me an actual answer. So I've got a pot. And I've put a little nice topiary is that what it's called? Buxus topiary thing in it. And then I want to have some nice dichondra silver falls hanging over the plant.
Listen to your Latin names. You're right into it.
Well, they go well together. But they said that the dichondra silver falls, you've got to have, they've got to be the right companion plant, because I want them to look after each other in that pot.
What?
Yeah. Well, if there's enough room, they'll be fine.
They integrate, don't they? Do they integrate together?
Yeah, those two will do all right. Yeah. You'll get, and you know, when it goes over the side of the pot, it'll cover the pot. I don't know if you get a lot of sun, and that'll help insulate the pot a bit more.
Can we talk
about
the
pot? And give you a nice look.
So I've got my nice veranda, but apparently Mum was saying that the pots will all stain the veranda.
Get ceramic.
Shall I pop them up on those little feet, those little risers? Will they stop staining the veranda?
Yeah, look, you want to put a saucer underneath, because, you know, when the soil leaches, you know, as you water the soil, you'll get brown stains and sort of salts will come out and it'll become white and messy. So make sure you have a saucer underneath.
Okay. Okay.
You bought a lemon tree, didn't you?
I bought the lemon tree.
How do we keep that alive?
Yeah, I'm going to put that in a big pot. So I've got myself a lemon dwarf, a dwarf one. Is that?
Oh, yeah.
Because I just want it in a pot. And I'm going to put some citrus fertilizer in a big pot, like it's about a 50-litre pot. Will that go okay in the back garden?
The pot we're talking is vodka. She's getting the lemons to put the lemon in the vodka.
So I'm just trying to get a picture here. So
Fee stuffed it up.
Have you seen Buckingham Palace? It's very similar to the gardens where she lives. There's your picture.
Small weather ball.
All right. Well, I'm working with that. So you've got some things on a veranda, but then you actually have a normal backyard where you're growing plants in the ground as well.
I've got some of those. Yes, I'm not doing that though. I can't look after the plants. I'm just a pot gardener at the moment. Just doing the pots. Should I put my lemon tree in the actual garden, Costa? Is that what you're saying?
Look, in an ideal world, you'll get a great result either way. If you just let it go step by step.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not sure what size. How big a pot did you say, and how big is the plant?
Like, I got the plant.
Are we talking about pot?
Yeah, no, we're talking about pot.
I'm going to know.
It's like
a pot gardener.
Big. I'm going to say a 50-liter pot. Like, it's one of those. It's quite decent. Probably comes up to my hip, so it's quite a big pot. And the plant grows to, I think it said a meter and a half, or was it 3 meters? No, I think it was 1.5.
She's really progressed in her gardening.
Making it so hard for Costa.
Costa's like, what the hell?
The most positive bloke in Australia is like, oh, you are doing my head in. Just give me these facts.
But this is all part of the gardening.
Experience.
The drive down the road. Yeah, walking down the garden path. You have to experience these things, and don't be despondent, for you're going to kill stuff, and that's fine.
Speaking
but
of killing stuff.
But then you go again. You go again and you get a bit more advice and, you know, get out, like you said, get out to your garden centres, go and visit some local community gardens, see what's going on. keep an eye out in the street, look over front fences, see what people are growing. But with your pot, if you've got a half a meter size large container, and the lemon came in a small container, what I'd do is keep it in the small container, put it in a slightly, so if it's in an 8-inch or a 200 mil pot, container. Then put it in a 300 mil pot, and let it grow out into that. Because heading into winter, with all that soil around it, that'll hold a lot of water, and you don't want that.
You
don't want it to hold water.
Well, not over the winter. You don't want it to be wet and boggy. The roots won't want to go out and get into it. So start with a smaller, just pretty go obvious, up pot size. So from 100 mil to 150 mil, then 200, then 300.
Babushka
plant. And that
plant.
Way it'll, yeah, it's a bit like a babushka. And that way the roots will fill that pot. Then you put it out again. And then once you get it up over 300, you can then, by that time, it'll be, mid spring, summer. And then you can put it out into the big
one. It's funny you said that, Costa, because I was telling my dad the other day, I also planted a herb garden, and Dad said, now's the time you're not planting. Herb gardens are dying. No, you don't actually plant them now.
Oh, geez, that is
foolish.
But I want to ask you, Costa, about annuals. So there's perennials and there's annuals. What's the point of annuals? They just die.
Well, I suppose annuals are a bit it's like a bit of paint, splashing a bit of paint on the canvas, like Pro Heart. I'm going to go with some primulas across there. Or I'm going to go with, whatever.
You sacrifice them.
Yeah, and that's right. You can save the seeds and then throw them in again.
Okay, no, I love this. I mean, I could keep going. I worry that, are you learning stuff? Are you enjoying this?
I'm hearing a lot of Latin. I don't know what it means.
The annuals are good for that upbeat happiness and colour. And then the perennials give you the structure, but you have those flowers there, and you know that they're going to come.
And
flower every year. Whereas the annuals, you replace them, and as the perennials grow a bit, it might change the shape of the garden, and then you can put some more in here and get sways. Like at the moment, it's a great time to plant paper daisies, native.
She's got a real daisy. She doesn't need flowering. A paper one.
Native
name Daisy.
Right down.
Hey, if she could only plant the seeds and grow like your beard. Your beard is an exceptional growth. Have a look
What's
at
a
that
secret?
Thing. What's the secret?
Oh,
millennials.
Worm juice.
Worm juice.
A little bit of compost.
I heard barramundi poo is good.
Actually, I haven't tried that one.
I'll leave sauce in.
Isn't barramundi good for your garden?
Well, they make a carp. Yeah. They make a carp fertilizer. Yes. It's very good. Fish emulsion.
Fish emulsion. Yeah.
They crush up all the fish parts and.
But there's no mercury in the barramundi poo. They're actually fed different pellets to eat.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah,
this is true.
I'm so impressed.
I've been to a big barra farm up in Humpty Doo.
Costa, this has been wonderful. Like the fact that I've, thank you, boys. What a surprise.
Welcome.
A direct access to Costa,
Logie,
who I usually watch on Gardening Australia, 7:30 on Friday nights on the ABC, or I'd watch you on iView. This is wonderful, Costa. Can I get your number? Your actual
Yes, of course
line?
You can. And Fifi, I'm very excited that you're now an advocate for gardening and talking
she wants
it up
to be on the
because,
show.
You know,
get
we
her
need,
on the show,
we need
come to
gardens.
Her house, you can do a whole special. Then we can talk about it. It'd be great.
Do the garden.
Perfect. She'll do it for free. She loves it.
This week on Gardening Australia, we're heading to Fifi's place.
Fifi, Feb, and Nick. Ecosa are giving you that winning feeling with a chance to win a queen bedroom makeover worth $4,000. Head to ecosa.com.au to find out more. Ecosa, sleep but better.